And the world has no place in the church, but we have a place in the world. Can I get an amen? And that place is for us to be the light of the world, where we are to shine forth as bright beacons of truth, righteousness, holiness, justice, morality, compassion, and love. Because that's exactly what Jesus did when he was here, giving of himself to the point that he even gave unto death, that we would be set free. How many of us needed that cross of Calvary? How many of us still need that cross of Calvary? Praise the Lord, exactly. Well, today I want you to turn in your scriptures, because we're going to be continuing in our word that we have been learning, and we're going to be continuing with the parable of the shrewd manager, which is in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 16, verses 1 through 9. And, you know, it amazes me, because our Lord Jesus here, you know, I don't know how many words are in this. It's not many. It's 9 verses. And this teaching is so profound and so far-reaching that we will not live long enough to learn it all. Okay? And it just amazes me that the power of God, I mean, you figure God spoke and worlds came into existence, right? So what did he speak? I have no idea. But here he speaks probably, I'm going to say 150, no, it's more like about 250 to 300 words here. So how much power has been released here? A great understanding that will change our lives and change our world if we follow this parable. One of the things that I need us to understand is this is a different type of parable than we've been studying before. Because this type of parable is called an irony parable. What is irony? Irony means the opposite. Okay? So what Jesus is telling us here is the opposite of what we should really be doing. Because he's showing us, he just got done preaching to the people or teaching the people of the parable of the prodigal sons. It's plural. Okay? We read it as the parable of the prodigal son. Singular. Wrong. Read the parable. There were two prodigal sons. One went away and one stayed there. They were both prodigal. But by the grace of God, he restored both of them. If you read the parable, you'll see that's truth. The one was restored by coming and being received. The other was restored by receiving finally the word and understanding. And it's so amazing because he goes from that, which is an example of what the church is going to be like. Because how many of us go about doing our own thing and then finally somewhere along the way we realize, I messed up. And we come back. But the whole time we're gone, there's other brothers. And I think that's funny because the word there, because it says that brother of yours. Because one brother says, that son of yours. And the father says, no, that brother of yours. In other words, you're equal with him. Equality. He says, you're just as he is. You've been here the whole time. And yet, you don't know me. And it's so amazing. Because from that, he says, this is the church. That's what the church does. How many of us in the church got it all figured out? I'll guarantee you, I've been preaching to you for the last, how many years? Going on 5 years now, right, Dan?
Here.
Yeah, that's right. I'm nowhere else. Here. 5 years. And I ain't got it right. I'm still a work in progress. So let's pray to the progress. Pray with me. Father God, we lift up this word before you. Lord, we just ask that you would pour out over us. Because our lives sometimes are irony, where we do the opposite of what we should be doing. So Lord, I pray that you would use this foolish pastor, that you would use this me, to bring forth holy words. I can't do that in myself. I need you. I need you now. Because there's a message that needs to go out. And that message is your word. The reformers knew that. And we are reformers yet. So may your word go out and may your truth touch our hearts and change our lives and make us whole and holy. For Lord God, there is no other but you. And we wish to serve you and to give our lives to you, that we may be changed eternally and be your children now and forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
As we look at this parable, I have to tell you that there's a lot of people that have read this parable. And I'll tell you right now, when I was a young Christian, when I was first in Christ, I read this, but I had a hard time with this because it was like Jesus was promoting dishonesty. And I'm thinking, what? This is wrong. But that is because I didn't have understanding at that point in time. I understood some things because I was a child in Christ. And I needed to gain maturity so I could begin to understand some of the deeper things. Okay? Because he said to the disciples, and we just learned that today, how many times did he say to his disciples, "Ye of little faith"? And when I first walked in the Lord, I was of little faith. So I needed to grow in my faith to understand, oh my goodness, this is irony. You see, this is one of the things I need you to know about the Bible. Do you know the Bible is considered one of the top five books of literature in the world? And guess where it places? Number one. It has every form of literary form or figure that has ever been created in one book. No other book in existence can claim that truth. Scholars have studied the Bible for literary purposes for millennia. Okay? For millennia. Because it has every form of literature perfectly. Not abused or not used incorrectly, but used perfectly. How did these people know to do that? I believe the Holy Spirit had something to do with that. So here we are. We're going to start into this irony. Because I want you all to understand that without faith, by virtue of the Holy Spirit, you will not see truth in this parable. But if, by the will of God, he has given you that Holy Spirit, you will understand truth this day. So, let us begin into this world. Because we need to understand, this manager calls this gentleman shrewd, okay? But it's worldly shrewd. And by that, we need to understand, this man is completely and totally, eternally bankrupt. Totally, eternally bankrupt. Let us begin with the word of God. From verse 1. Now he was also saying to his disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager. And this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do so that when I am removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes." And he summoned each of his master's debtors, and he began saying to the first, "How much do you owe my master?" And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said to him, "Take your bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, "How much do you owe?" And he said, 100 measures of wheat. He said to him, "Take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. Blessed be the word of our Lord to our immortal souls." Now, I want you to remember, this parable is teaching us from a perspective of a worldly shrewd manager, okay? And this worldly shrewdness is completely devoid of godly righteousness. Look at verse 4 with me for just a moment. And this gentleman who has been found out, okay, his master or his his boss, okay, understands that he has been unfaithful. And he says to him, give an accounting. And this guy says, I know what I will do. Do you see God anywhere in that phrase? Do you see God or an implication of any kind of holiness in that phrase? No, there's one God in that sentence, and it's I. It is I. And that is the one place I want you to understand that everything in the world revolves around I. Takes God into no consideration about what it does or where it goes. That is the deceit of man. We want what we want, and we want it now. Burger King has it right. Okay? If it ever comes down to sticks and stones will break my bones, but hamburgers will never hurt me, Burger King will win hands down because they have it right. You can walk in there and order it your way and get it however you want. I've never asked them to fry a hamburger, but God help me, I want to do that someday. Because that's their slogan, right? You have it your way. And that's what we want to do. And we don't want God to tell us what to do. I know what I will do. Oh, and then by the way, God, I want you to bless it. Ain't none of us ever been there, have we? We're all there. Whether we want to admit it or not. We're all there. From time to time, we're all there. So this manager tells this guy that he needs to bring his accounting. Now, I do have to tell you, because Jesus here literally is commending this gentleman on some aspects, because he's showing us what shrewdness in the world looks like. And he's saying that the children of this world deal better with each other than the children of light deal with each other. So in what ways is this gentleman dealing well with the people of the world? Well, the first thing that we have to recognize is the fact that this man saw where he was. He knew what his situation was, okay? This gentleman said, okay, I can see clearly now, for the rain is gone. Okay, he says, oh, my master found me out. He knows what's going on, so now I know the path I need to take. How many of the people in the church know well the path that they should take? How many of us recognize where we are? Like I said earlier, there are so many people in our world that when we are lacking understanding, and that's what you need to understand. I'm being Paul here for just a minute, all right? When we think we have it set, the first place we need to go is to God and get it checked. Because does it meet the measure? If it doesn't, should we be doing it? No, not at all. But yet, there are people in the church, and this is so funny, because being a pastor, I was actually asked this question at a conference that I was at. And I was asked this by our national minister, okay? Our national minister of the Evangelical Association. Hi, Jim. Because he does watch these from time to time. I hope he gets this one. He said to me one day, he said, so Rich, if I don't believe in a literal 6 days of creation, can I be part of the Evangelical Association? No. No, that's not what I told him. I said, you can believe whatever you want, but even this God will make clear to you. Because God will make it clear in time if we are open to His Spirit, if we're willing to check it with Him. But unfortunately, in the church, there are so many people who have set their minds on these things because, well, science says, Simon says, you know, stand up. Simon says, sit down. Simon says, roll over. You're going to do all that stuff? The reality is God said. Who put it all together? Who created it all? Who sustains it all? Who keeps it all? It's so amazing to me because Christians are so unfocused. We say something over here, but yet we do over here the quite opposite of what we've said. It's as if well, you know, I believe that when I need to, but over here I want to do what I want to. You know, we call those people what? Two-faced. And it's a dangerous place to be. Jesus says, you're talking out of, you know, the word says, you're talking out of both sides of your mouth. You need to be single-minded, because a house divided will not stand. And you do realize that if you don't see the issues clearly, if you're not on that straight and narrow, you're a divided house, and it will fall. This gentleman understood his plight, and he set in his mind to do a one thing deal. How many of us in the church need to get one-minded with God? That means on His agenda. We may not like it, because I'll guarantee you right now, there are times that people hate Pastor because I'm going to tell you the way it should be, and you don't have to like it. But don't argue with me. I didn't write the book. If you have a problem, take it up with the author. I'm here to teach you truth. You don't want to accept it? That door opens and closes the same way. And you're always welcome back in, if you wish to be transformed to the heart of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen? Because brothers and sisters, that's what this is all about. And this parable is actually meant to help us see where the world is and where we are when we're in the world, when we're operating in the world. Because in the world, how many of us can see things clearly in the world? Oh, well, you know, hey, that's a red stop sign. I need to slow down and continue on. A yellow light means speed up and go fast. Right? We all know these things. It so amazes me because we are the very people Jesus is speaking to. We need to see that our world is right here. This gentleman was speaking of the relativism that we see in our culture today. How many of us can see what I'm speaking about? Because if I tell you the line down the middle of this gymnasium is black, and a politically correct person comes in here and says, oh, no, we can't use the word black. Can't use the word black. That's not black. What do you call it? Well, it's dark. Well, what's dark? That can be a lot of things. Well, again, we can't say that's dark. Okay, so I accept that. No, I don't accept that. It's black. Get over yourself. We need to understand God's word is black. Now, in my Bible, some of it's red. Okay? Because I think it's funny because this is a red letter Bible because the red letters are what Jesus said. Well, excuse me, the black ones are who we are. It's all Jesus. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word
was God.
Is God. Say it like a Hebrew. They don't use past tense, they use present tense. The Word is God. I love that. I love that. There are often times when I'll read my scripture as a sidebar. There are often times when I'll read scripture and it's talking past tense. You change it to present tense. Oh, it comes alive. Because it's like, this is now. This is me. Oh my heavens. It's like the first time it was ever spoken. That's what he wants us to understand. It has that power of being the first time ever spoken. There's the power to change you now, today. So as we look at this and we see just how relative our world is, because everything's acceptable to anybody in certain amounts of time and place, but yet God says, no, there is a way that man should go. But there is a way that seemeth right unto man, and it leads to
death.
And we are oftentimes found on that path. We need to get off that road, because that road is a road to perdition. That road is a road to destruction. And I need to tell you this, but there are a lot of people who have lied so much to themselves that they don't even realize. They're in church every Sunday, and they don't realize they're headed straight to hell, but they're singing the Hallelujah Choir every Sunday. Because when they get out of here, they're not walking in it. They're not becoming it. And who's it? Jesus Christ, the Word. The Word is meant to transform us. Here this gentleman is. He's going to transform his world. Because isn't that what relativism does? It tries to change the world to suit my needs. And that's what this gentleman is about to do. As we think about this guy and where he's going, he's commended because he sees the issues. God, I wish the church saw the issues and understood that the issue is, are we right with God? It's not, do I have enough money in my bank account? It's not, do I have the right girlfriend? It's not, can I buy this car? It's not all the stuff that this world, turn the TV on. What do you think advertisements are meant to do? Suck you in to the world system. Put you in debt. Emotionally, spiritually, morally, physically, and financially. If you think I'm wrong, show me one. Well, I know there are some because there are church commercials out there now, but I haven't seen many of them. Of course, I haven't seen TV since August of last year. I am praising my Lord. Because when I do see it, oh my gosh, you get 3 minutes of a TV program and 15 minutes of commercials. It's crazy. Shut that thing off. Get Satan out of my house. He can puke in somebody else's house. But when we see where we are in this world, we need to understand there's an issue. And the issue is, are we right with God? Am I walking with God? Is He my focus? Am I on this straight and narrow path? Because if I'm not, I need to get rid of everything else and get single-minded with God. Plain and simple. But this gentleman, again, he's commended for a couple of things. One of the things he's commended for is his care for the future. How many of us care about our future? That's why we're in church today, right? That's why we're in church today. That's why we bring our tithes, gifts, and offering, right? We want to be right with the Lord. Well, I hate to tell you, being in church and giving your tithes, gifts, and offering, that's about this much of it. Because the rest of it is what you do with the rest of your life. This is just a small part. And God said, if you're faithful with little, He'll give you much. But if you're not faithful with the right things, He can't trust you with anything. Oh, but I've been in church. You don't know me. Religion does not top relationship. Church is religion, which stems out of a relationship. You can't stem salvation out of religion. Doesn't happen. Salvation only comes through. So this guy needed to take care to his future. And it's so amazing because he says here, I know what I'm going to do so that people will welcome me into their homes. That's all verse 4. Because he knew that his future needed to be taken care of. And something had to happen because he was about to lose his job. That's the issue, right? I'm going to lose my job. I'm going to be called out on this. So I need to prepare for my future. And when we think about this reality, how many of us know the future? There is a heaven and there is a hell. Can I get an amen? Amen. How many of us act like we're going to heaven, but we live like we're going to hell? I am a sinner saved by grace, nothing else. I got to remember where my future really is. I've got to get off of this worldly train. And I got to get right with God. Because if I'm not right with God, if I'm not living God's will, looking at my life, seeking godly counsel. Just last night, Bobby and I were on the phone for 45 minutes talking to each other. Godly counsel. And that came from another elder calling him and godly counsel. Because without godly counsel, without coming under the word of God, I have no future. My future is damnation. But if I take that godly counsel, if I come under the word of God, if I come under biblical teaching, you know, it's so amazing to me. Because we have, how many of you enjoyed our discipleship time this morning? Wasn't that awesome? And with the way I set you guys up, how many of you want to be here in 2 weeks to find out where things are going and what's happening at Caesarea Philippi, where this big rock is there and all these dead gods and the gates of hell are right there, and they're looking at Jesus and saying, "You're the..." Come to discipleship. Sorry for the shameless plug, but you need to be there. And that goes for you that are watching right now. You need to be here. You know the future. We know, as Brother Steve put it, who wins the game. But just because we know who wins does not mean we hedge our bet until the last moment, because you don't know when that last moment's going to be. How about it, Brother Dan? Could have happened for you just the other week, couldn't it? Amen. Right now, we're praying for a man, Todd Fortuna, okay? He needs a heart. Oh, my heavens. Are we praying for a transformed heart for that man? I certainly hope we are. His heart beating at 20%. That's not enough to sustain life. They're going to have to put a pump in him until they can get a transplant. We have no idea when our last will be. Some of us get warnings. My mom, there is no warning. Dead. It's called a thunderclap. Blood vessel bursts. Aneurysm. It's called a thunderclap aneurysm. It said it's a big burst of light and pain, and so forth. Because it ruptures, major blood vessel here in the front of your head, ruptures, and you're dead inside. She was gone. My brother was talking to her. They were sitting in the living room. Mom just went, and she was gone. We all know. God knows. Well, this man didn't know either, but he began to make provision, which is the next thing that the Lord says here is really kind of amazing, because he began to make provision for the future. How many of us make provision for our future? You know, it's so amazing, because when I think about that, I'll talk to people, and, you know, they're talking about their 401ks and their IRAs and their, you know, 403bs and you know, XYZs and, you know, all that other good stuff that you can invest all your money into. And you know what? When you die, you know, who gets it? You don't. The reality is, we're not talking earthly preparation, but that's exactly what this guy did. And it so amazes me, because rather than getting right with God and getting his eternity right and possibly getting his life started in a new direction that would be a good and healthy direction, he continues the deceit by stealing from his master. And his master calls him shrewd. You know, that's really a bad word. We've turned it into a good, oh, that is really shrewd. And we smile and we smirk. The reality is, the word shrewd means evil in a clever manner. Think about that. How many of you want to be shrewd in the world? How many of you want to be wise in the spirit? That's where we need to be, filled with the hope and the love of God. Because to be shrewd in this world means to take and take and take from others and give nothing back. Because this guy, now look at what he's doing here. Okay, he takes one guy and says, write down on your bill, take 50% off. On your bill, take 20% off. Because when I lose my job, I'm going to come and live with you. And I know if I make you, you know, yours is 50%, I can probably stay there for 5 or 6 years. Because I see you thousands of dollars. Now, this is back when thousands of dollars meant millions of dollars, okay? And this guy who did 20, well, you know, hey, I can stay there for a couple months, maybe, or maybe a little longer, because I'm gonna use you too. Now, if you were one of the people that he was doing this with, you know, we would probably all gladly say, oh, sure, hey, you know, you're the guy's manager, because they probably don't know that he's getting ready to lose his job. Wow, you're giving me a 50% savings? Hey, you betcha. Let's talk about some other things. I'm always into free. How about you? So not knowing, they go along with his scheme. But how many of these people, when he comes and they find out, oh my goodness, he was cheating his master, are going to find a place to lodge? Because now you're coming to a man whom you used to cheat your master, who may have now had a bad relationship with that guy in business. And how do you think he's going to respond to you? He was hedging his bets on lies. Do lies ever get us anywhere? The way this parable ends is the key to that verse. And I didn't understand it until several years ago. I was probably about 14, 15 years ago, maybe longer than that. I'll tell you what, when you get to be, I'm going to be 55 in November here. Double fives. That only happens once in your lifetime. You know that? But it just, you know, when I think about it, here this guy is, you know, and he's being a lie, he's being deceitful. And he's getting these other people to come into him. And what's going to happen to them? What's going to happen to them if they let this guy come in? They're going to be considered the same as him. How many of us want that kind of connotation in our lives? How many of us want to be involved with those kind of people? I don't want to be involved with those kind of people. And if I get found out, you know, hey, wow, or if I find out somebody's being deceitful with me, guess what I do? I had a nice talk with him. Because I got to stay on this path. You can come. But you got to come here. I'm not going over there. Because just a little off course is still off course. This gentleman is so far off course that the manager said, or the owner of the business said, this guy is so shrewd. He is so shrewd. We need to understand the one thing he did, we all need to do. How long did it take him to devise this plan and get it in action? He knew what he was doing and he set about it right away. We all know that we're not right with the Lord. Can I get an amen? How many of us are delaying on this thing, thinking that, well, I have time, and right now I just want to be mad at them, or right now I just want to, you know, I want to do my thing, I want to have my fun, you know, we want to have that fling, right? We got to go out there and have that one more party, Lord. And I think about how many young people have died on the way home. Just one more drink, Lord. And how many drunks killed someone coming home from the bar? Just one more leads to one more, and one more, and one more. This guy acted so quick and so decisive. His plan went into action, and it was following through just like that. We, the church, need to be operating in the same way. But we need to be operating in the understanding of the Lord that now is the day of salvation. Now is the day of the Lord. Now is the time of our lives. Because we don't know if we have the next breath. I mean, one day I could come in here, I mean, right now, boom, you know, this clock is ticking away here right in front of me. And I'll guarantee you, I don't know what's going to happen in the next second. It could be the last one I have. So am I imploring the Lord now? Am I in Him? Am I seeking Him? Am I pleasing Him? Am I changing from this world unto Him? Because the last thing that I want you to understand is this word is so amazing. Look at verse number 9. This is the end of the story. Actually, it's not, because this parable continues. All right? And one day I'll do the rest of that teaching. But right now I have to land this plane. It says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings." Man, I had a hard time with that. It was like, no, Lord, you're telling me to use the wickedness of this world to buy friends so that they'll invite me into eternal dwellings? How does that work? That's not what he's saying. All of us, each and every one of us, how many of us have money? You have money. Are there dollar bills in your pocketbook?
Yeah.
Okay, you have money. All right. Oh, you gave them to somebody else. Oh, okay. But what I'm getting at is, we have money. Now, here's my question. How many of you dare to realize money has you? How many of us carry so much debt that it's going to take us 30 years to get out? Some even longer. We need to remember, Jesus here is talking about something that is meant to be a tool. Money is a person in the world. In this world, money has a spirit, and it's an evil spirit. It is one of control. It is one of divisiveness. Because people will do all kinds of things to get money for it. Because money controls so much. Because without money, there's no power. But in money, there is power. Wrong. Money controls us. The power it creates is evil. So God here, because this is Jesus speaking, prior to this, he was saying the manager or the owner of the business, okay, was speaking. This rich man was speaking. But here he says, "And I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of wealth of unrighteousness." What is wealth of unrighteousness? With money. It has no righteousness. Money has no righteousness. It's a tool. Use the wealth that God has given you and make friends in this world. In other words, give to the poor, people. Please understand, this is Jesus Christ speaking to us. This is Matthew 25 here being applied. And Matthew 25 hasn't even been spoken yet. But he says, use what God has given you to make friends in this world. But not friends of affluence, friends of influence. And the friends of influence are those who are in need. Because when they have received from you, they will speak kindly of you. And the God that has given you the ability to help them and raise them up, he's saying that you know, because you have acted in such a manner that you didn't allow that money to control you, because that's exactly where this man was. The money was controlling him to the point that he was cheating his master out of the money to make himself look good. But Jesus says, use it as a tool to raise others up. Because when money fails, how many of us know money always fails? It goes away. I don't know about you, I have never been able to hang on to mine. It seems to have feet or wings or something. It's constantly leaving. And I gotta fight hard to get more to come back. But Jesus says, use that tool. Help others who are in need. Because in doing such, you are open to eternal life. He says that you will be welcomed in because in my name you gave that cup of water. And he says, I tell you, no one who has given a cup of water in my name will lose it. So here at the very end, he turns it around on himself. So that we can understand that it's not about us, it's not about what we want, but it's about utilizing what we have to help others, that we may truly win friends. Friends are going to last up to eternity. Because friends of this world are only there until the money dries up, aren't they? As soon as the money dries up, as soon as the lust of the eyes dries up, as soon as the hunger of the stomach dries up, as soon as these things are settled, it dries up, doesn't it? It goes away because it's lost its luster. But the things of eternity never dry up because God holds them in his hands. And he is eternal. And he never, ever dries up. So today I want you to think in the parable of the shrewd manager, and I want you to understand that I'm talking to each and every one of you in your lives today, where you are, where you have put something else up there, that you are clamoring to it rather than to God. That you are giving yourself to it, whatever that it may be, and you can all put the it there, and you all can say the amen. Whatever it is, get rid of it and get right with him. And when you do, if the it is to be part of your life, he will bring it back to you in a right and righteous manner. But we cannot, for one moment, think we are in control. Who is in control? God the Father, through Christ the Son, by the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen. Would you pray with me this day? Father God, what a rich parable. And it doesn't end there. For Lord, this parable goes all the way to verse 18. And I pray, Lord, that the day will come when I can literally bring this back and truly finish up on it. Because, oh, what a truth there is in this, Lord. But Lord, for now, we need to understand that there is a way that is right unto man, and in the end it leads to death. And may we choose life. May we choose you, Lord. May you go before us. May you go behind us. May you encircle us. May you hold us in the power of your right hand, that no harm would befall us, that all the evil one's darts would fall before they ever get to us. May our hearts be transformed. May our lives be reckoned. And may we be reformed in the name of Jesus Christ to the truth of your word. Lord, it's been said, we're a different people here. And that's because we believe the word. We stand on the word, and we are transformed by the word. Because it's not me, Lord. It's not my will. It's not my desire. And that goes for each and every one of us. We can all say the me, the my, the mine. But thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Unto Jesus.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.